Well, we're on our way through the Bible, and this is a catch-up week for you who are trying to keep up in your reading, because we took a break to do a Thanksgiving service today, but keep reading. Next Sunday, we'll finish the rest of the Old Testament and get on into the New Testament. So this is your chance to just keep reading if you're doing the fourth quarter challenge and trying to read through the Bible in a year. This week is a great week, and in some ways, I often joke that my favorite holiday is Super Bowl Sunday, but really, I think Thanksgiving is. There's nothing that gets closer to the heart of what God wants to do in our lives than Thanksgiving. The scriptures tell us that we are to be thankful for everything and thankful in everything. The book of Romans talks about the fact that people who have really messed up their lives, it all started when they weren't thankful. And then God finally gave them up because they were messing up so much. And so to God, Thanksgiving is a big deal. Often for us, it's difficult because so often when we think of Thanksgiving, we want to think about the things that are going the way we want them to go. And so our lives can be kind of on a roller coaster of Thanksgiving. And maybe right now you're in a place where you're just going, I'm trying to be thankful. I like turkey and things like that. But some of you still haven't gotten over the election a couple weeks ago. You're just like, oh, how can I be thankful? Others of you are just devastated by Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez breaking up this week again. You know, that's sad. You know, then you look in the world, there's bombings, a mess in the Gaza, and all kinds of things. For me, the greatest catastrophe of recent times, though, happened this week and devastated me when Hostess went out of business. And I'll confess to you, I almost don't know if it's worth going on living without Twinkies, ding-dongs, ho-hos, those pies. I'm going to battle through this. On eBay, you could buy a box of Twinkies for $300. And I'm like, do I click? Decided not to. I don't really need them. But, you know, things don't always go our way. So how can we be thankful when that happens? Turn in your Bibles over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is a psalm all about Thanksgiving. Not the holiday of Thanksgiving, the practice of Thanksgiving. And it repeats in several different places, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. In verse 1, it says that. In verse 8, it says that. In verse 15, it says that. In verse 21, it says that. In verse 30, or verse 31, it says that. Give thanks to the Lord. It's a reminder. But then in each of these sections, the psalmist goes into and elaborates reasons why we should be thankful, things that we need to thank God for. And by looking at some of these categories, it gives us a clue as to where to start when we are entering into a week where we're going to try to be thankful this week. We're gonna try to find a way to be positive. And this psalm gives us some insights into that. The first section, beginning with verse 1, he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, gathered out of the lands from the east and west, north and south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses and led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. So he says, be thankful that you've been redeemed. You were at one point homeless. You were at one point in despair. You had nothing going for you, and you were rescued, and you've been redeemed. The word redeemed is a word that we don't use very much. We talk about redemption in terms of getting even. You know, you think if your team loses to another team, some of you may be devastated this week if you're USC fans or Oregon fans, but you always go, but we'll play them again, and that's when redemption will come. Redemption, the Hebrew word redemption is the word ga'al, and it's a specific word that refers to a part of the Jewish law called the kinsman redeemer law. And what that law is, it was something that would prevent most people from falling into slavery. And what it was, if you got in a real jam and you were really into debt and it looked like you couldn't dig yourself out of the hole that you are in, then if you had a close relative, they had a right to step in on your behalf and take over those obligations and basically purchase what you owe so that someone can't take away from you your property and things like that. Instead, someone can come along as a white knight and rescue you. And they were called a Ga'al. Now, the story of Ruth is all about this tradition that they had, all about this law of kinsman redeemer, where, remember, Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, and Naomi, after losing her husband and her two sons, she and Ruth came back to the land of Benjamin there in northern Israel, and as they did that, Naomi sent Ruth out in the field, and she met a guy named Boaz, and Boaz was related to Naomi and her husband, and so Boaz said, I want to redeem you. And what that meant is, as your family member, he would go and take over the debts and the problems that you have and bail you out. But now you are in a closer family relationship with him than you had been before. So biblically, the idea of redemption has to do with a relative bailing you out, essentially. And that's exactly what God has done for us. And because sometimes we don't understand the kinsman redeemer principle, we don't understand the meaning of Christmas and why God had to become a man. But if God was going to rescue us, if he was going to take over for us and give us his rights, his privileges, his righteousness, he had to be related to us. And so God became a man so that we could have a family. And essentially what the psalmist is saying here is, when I am thinking of what I'm thankful for, I'm starting with the family of God. I'm starting with the fact that there are people who are related to me spiritually because the one who was related to me gave his life for me and bought me and took over all of my debts, took my sins on himself. And this should really bless us. You know, having family members is good. I mean, I'm really blessed with my family that I have, thankful for them. But let's be honest, this Thursday when you get together with your relatives, you will probably be relatively happy to do so, but you know, a lot of relatives are people we would never have anything to do with if we weren't related to them. And so, for a lot of people, family just has a real negative connotation. There are people in your family who you're at odds with, people in your family that don't get along with other people in your family. It's, and then there are some people who don't have a family. It's all gone. They're alone. They're by themselves. And so, holidays sometimes are really difficult for people because of family. But what the psalmist is saying here is, you were lost, you were homeless, you didn't have anybody, but God redeemed you and brought you in to his family. Jesus talked about this when at one point his family, his mom and his brothers and sisters thought he was nuts. And so they came to a place where he was preaching, and they wanted to talk him into just bailing and getting out of there. And the word came to Jesus, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they want to talk to you. And Jesus said, who are my mother, my brothers, and my sister? The ones who are my family are the ones who are sitting here listening to my word. The ones who are doing what I'm telling them to do. That's family to me. And because of that, Jesus has a huge family. He came from a fairly large family, average by their standards back in those days. But Jesus institutes this idea of we're all family. Now, when we reflect on that, it's a blessing. It really is. It's an awesome thing because I realize, you know, I'm thankful. And when my family are also believers in Jesus and we have that spiritual connection as well as the familial connection, that's the best. But the truth is, every time I come to church, every time I pray for you, every time I get emails from people who are asking for prayer, every time, you know, I read the prayer wall and pray for people who are there, I am reminded of what a special blessing it is that I come from a huge family. So many people, many of them, I don't even know their name, but we have that connection. And personally, I'm just so grateful and I'm so thankful every year that my family is much more than just my relatives. That my family embraces and includes everyone who worships Jesus, everyone who has accepted him, they're my family. And that's something that we should really be thankful for. And the psalmist just says it right off the bat. We were homeless, now we've got a home, and we have a family because we've been redeemed. Our kinsman redeemer rescued us and bailed us out. Now in the second section, we see beginning with verse 8, oh, that men should give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Longing, hungry, that doesn't sound like thanksgiving. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. And he goes on and says, he brought them, verse 14, after they cried out to the Lord in verse 13, he saved them and he brought them out of darkness, the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Here we see that we can be thankful, not just for being brought into the family of God, but in addition to that, we can be thankful that those things that make our lives dark and horrible and lonely, in particular, those things that enslave us, that chain us, that he wants to set us free from those things. He wants to take us out of that darkness. And again, most of that darkness comes because we choose it. It says they rebelled against the words of God. That's how it got so dark. That's how they got bound. That's how they got just stuck. Today, there are so many people who live their lives feeling bound, feeling that they're trapped. One of the biggest things that is a problem in our society are the fact that when we get frustrated, we go after things that we become addicted to. And, you know, there are some people who are enslaved to drugs or alcohol, and they become addicted to those. Other people get addicted to work. All they want to do is work to get and to achieve. Other people are addicted to shopping. Other people addicted to food and other things. But the thing about everything that enslaves us ultimately is it has the potential to destroy us. And yet, we can be thankful that we've been rescued. One of the words that where he says in verse 10 that they were bound in affliction. That word affliction means depression. It means you're pressed down, you're burdened. And depression is something that is a very common issue that people deal with today. You can feel depressed and not even know why. It's one thing to feel depressed because your best friend just died or something, but it's another thing to wake up feeling depressed without a reason. And yet that is, it's become probably the number one thing that hospitalizes people ultimately. Depression, addiction, they're destroying us. And yet at Thanksgiving, it's a time to reflect and to go, I have had victory and been freed from some things that at one time I was enslaved to. Maybe your enslavement was at one time to relationships that were bad. But now you're realizing, yeah, I don't want to be that way. And God has rescued you from some of those. Maybe your chains, maybe your affliction had to do with a habit, pornography or something like that. Maybe it was a substance abuse problem or workaholic problem or people-pleasing problem. Now you go, wait, now you're really making me feel bad because I still have some of those problems. Well, you can be thankful anyway, because if you even know that you have that problem, you're way better off than you were before you knew that it was a problem. So if you're frustrated and you're battling some addictions and you're not having immediate results, be thankful anyway. So let's look at things that once entangled us, and let's thank God for those things that are now a part of our past. And some of us have been rescued from some things that absolutely would have destroyed us. You've been set free not just from who you were, but you've been set free from what you could have become. I think sometimes you can look at a relationship that you've lost and realize, you know, I'm mourning the death of this relationship, but at the same time, I actually feel more free because that relationship was entrapping me more than I realized. I've had people get mad at me and blow me off, and it just devastates me. It really hurts me. And then I start to go, wow, I didn't realize what a burden that was until I'm delivered from it. And now that friendship isn't wearing me down all the time. I feel freer. God always takes things away from us to set us free. Sometimes you lose a job and you think, oh, this is horrible. Well, losing a job gives you an opportunity to consider all of the possibilities that are out there and maybe change the direction of your life. Sometimes that was trapping you. That job was keeping you from being free to look for a better job or to work with people that you enjoy being with and things like that. But here, the psalmist is just going, I am going to thank God for the fact that God is in the process of setting me free. I'll thank him for everything that I'm stuck to now that he's going to remove. But even if I look at my life and go, I am enslaved to all sorts of things, then I would go, well, then thank God you're realizing that. Thank God that you are beginning to understand that certain things in your life are enslaving you. They are making life dark. They are making life depressing. God wants to set you free. And so Thanksgiving is a great time for us to reflect on what we've been delivered from and to thank God that we are not enslaved in the same ways that we used to be. And then to thank him that if he can give us victory over any addictions, then he can continue to work in our lives and we are going to move in the right direction. So another thing to think about, some of you have gone through recovery programs and you count the days that you've been sober. That is awesome. I mean, God enabled you to do that. But if right now the day is just, it's been 2 days, that's great, man. You're 2 days toward being free. If you go, yeah, but I was clean for a year and a half, and then I crashed. And now I'm trying to get myself together, trying to get God to work with me. Be thankful. Be thankful even for failure, because failure reminds us of, I got to get back at this. I need to do this. And so we've been set free. The next section, he says, oh, that men would give thanks, verse 15, to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Thanksgiving's a good time to think about the fact that God has even rescued us from ourselves. That the things that we do that could have, should have destroyed us, it hasn't. See, an awful lot of what happens in our life that creates the situation that we're in comes about purely because of our choices. This is true in most cases of addictive things. But in so many ways, our lives can become trapped by us trying to destroy ourselves. There is something within each of us that's a poison that is eating away at our own well-being. We are drawn to things that are bad for us. We're drawn to relationships that would destroy us. We're drawn to possessions that could destroy us. We are drawn to activities that could destroy us. And so the psalmist is just going, man, I'm glad that God is protecting me from myself. That when I repent, I see what's going on. And I am able to have victory over the problems that I brought on myself. God's grace, his mercy, the fact that he will always give us a fresh start is something to be greatly thankful for. So Thanksgiving is a good time to think, what are some things that I wanted to do at one time, and I ended up not being able to do them, and I'm really glad of that. That's something to be thankful for. Be glad that you didn't end up marrying the first person you were attracted to. That could have been disastrous. Some of you are like, yeah, but it's disastrous this way too. Okay, I get that. But God doesn't give us what we deserve. That's his mercy. So his grace comes along, and he uses it to, again, set us free. He protects us from ourselves. Then down in verse 21, the next section, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Now, this is kind of weird. He says, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they're at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. He's saying people who go on ships for business purposes, so they have to travel a lot, they experience a lot of stormy weather. Life is full of ups and downs, and there are times when you just feel like I'm staggering. I can't get my bearings. Things are so out of my control, and there's no place better than being out in a little boat in the ocean to discover how crazy life can be. Most of us, if we go in a boat, it's in a big, you know, cruise ship that's all balanced, and you barely can tell you're moving. But in their day, and remember Jesus on several occasions, some of his greatest teachings were based on times when they were out in a boat in the storms, and he taught them how to trust God and what that means. But here he is saying, you guys who in business are being tossed around and walking around like you're drunk, thank God. And then he says, and when it calms down, thank God. Now, this seems to us to be like, wait a minute, isn't that kind of circular? Isn't that, I mean, that sounds really weird that you go, thank God for the storm and thank God when it stops. Why would he say that? Why would we do that? Well, there's something about being in a storm, according to what he says here, that will impress you with the fact that you do not control this. When you're in a storm, the overpowering sense of helplessness, the sense of, I don't know if I'm going to make it, can do a really good thing in your life. And you really appreciate it when it calms down. One of the reasons why I love the ocean so much and why I spend so much time down at the beach and looking at it, I love it when there's nobody there, it's in the off season, and I just look across the water and I just think, that's amazing. Look how big this is. And then I look up in the sky at the stars and I go, the greatness of God's creation is amazing. And when I go there, I feel really small. I don't feel big. I don't look at it and go, and I've conquered all of this. I look at it and I go, man, I feel like a little mosquito in this huge world. I am reminded of how small I am, and I'm reminded of how big God is. And that's a really good thing. That's a very healthy thing. To be in the presence of things that are outside your control and to be in awe of the ups and downs that happen in life is a huge blessing and a great lesson and something to be thankful for. Years ago, when my son Will was just a baby and Danny was still inside his mom, we were really struggling. We lived in a house that was just horrible, crime everywhere, house was broken into. There was a gunfight when my mom was taking William out in the stroller and they almost got hit with crossfire. And then I couldn't even afford that house. So we're going to move. And I was sitting there looking at the paper and looking for houses to rent. And I said to Ann, just pray. And she said, oh, I am praying. She said, I'm praying that we'll get a place for free. And I go, that's so stupid. Don't pray that we'll get a place for free. Pray for like something around $600 a month. That was back then, that was, you know, and I wasn't making much money, but it's like, it never occurred to me that I might get something for free. So I just kind of blasted her and then went on looking at the paper. You're no help at all. The next day, I think it was, or 2 days later, I got a call from a gal that I didn't know her very well. I had actually expelled their kid from school at one time, and that's how I knew them. But she said, hey, I heard you're looking for a place to live. Now, I have no idea how she found that out. But she said, we have a house that we used to live in, and it's for sale. We've already moved out, and it's just sitting there. Would you be interested in staying in our house for a bit while it's for sale? And I go, sure. And she said, well, you should probably look at it and make sure it's okay for your needs. I'm like, I live at, you know, Edinger and Grand in Santa Ana. Trust me, it'll be fine. But she met us after church, and we followed her up into Nellie Gale Ranch, and this big, beautiful house, horse property. It's this amazing house. And then I start thinking, how can I even take care of this place, and what are they going to charge me? And she was saying, yeah, don't worry, we'll pay the gardener to take care of the grounds, and the pool guy will take care of that. And I said, well. And she said, yeah, I know the carpet's a little faded. It's nicer than any carpet I had ever seen, but it was a little faded in front of the window. She goes, I'll put new carpet in, don't worry. And I go, I hate to ask, but how much is this going to cost me? And she said, oh, it's free. You don't have to pay anything for it. Anne's like smirking at me. Hate when that happens. But during this time, the upshot of it, we ended up living a year and a half rent-free. And so I saved some money and I started investing. And I really enjoyed investments. But it was like the ship on the sea that goes up and down. And I think that was a good adrenaline rush for me. But I was investing in stock options and commodity options. And that is a roller coaster. I'd go, man, I'm making so much more money on this than I do working for Calvary. But I'll do both. And so, like, one day I'd get my statement, I just made $8,000 today. And I'd show it to Ann. Woo, she's all excited, thinking how she's going to spend it. The next day I'd get my statement, and I just lost $6,000. So I just wadded that up and threw it away and didn't say anything about it. But it was this incredible roller coaster. And I began to question, is it really smart for me to spend my life on this up and down crazy thing? And I finally, the Lord opened a door for us to buy a house, total dump of a house, but it was in a better neighborhood. And so I took the money out of my brokerage account, put it down on a house, and we were going to fix the house up. But I was still committed that I wanted to be an investor because I was really good at that. So I kept doing it for a bit until one day I took the kids to Disneyland. And we were on, I think, Pirates of the Caribbean or something, and I'm checking commodity prices on this little Quotrek machine I had. It was before the internet really had anything. And I thought, I'm on a ride at Disneyland checking commodity prices. And I just turned that thing off, and I didn't check. I was busy fixing up the house for a few days, doing everything else. I just forgot about my positions. Now, if you know anything about options, when they expire, you just lose. So you have to really watch them. But I wasn't watching them, and that Monday was a day that they call Black Monday, largest drop in the stock market in history. And I lost pretty much almost everything. I still had maybe $4,000 or $5,000 in the account, and I didn't even take it. I just let it expire. Because I was realizing that these ups and downs, this isn't the way I want to live my life. I am not a speculator. I am not a businessman like this. This doesn't work for me. It stresses me. It robs me of priorities. It keeps me from my family. It affects my effectiveness in ministry. And I never once looked back at that money that I lost that day and felt like, oh, man, what I could do with that money. Now, Ann did. She looked back and she goes, man, I'd like to have that back. But, you know, I realized it's much more important that I learn that this is the way life is. This is tuition. This is a great lesson for me. And so I have to say, I realized how crazy and how unpredictable business can be. So now when all of a sudden my house is worth nothing and it was worth a lot and everything, I'm used to that, and I'm okay with it, really, because God is huge, and I realize that when it rains or when it shines, God's bigger than I am, and so I don't take on so much responsibility for myself. Therefore, I don't put pressure on myself because I go, I'm just a guy riding in a boat, and it's going to take me all kinds of places, but I am thankful that God is big and that I'm small. And so that's kind of the feeling of him as he talks about some of these business decisions that are like being on a boat going way up and go way down and you feel sick. And now in verse 31, he says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. Now look at why he says to be thankful. Because God turns rivers into a wilderness. Gee, thanks. And the water springs into dry ground. a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So he says, I am thankful that when I'm sinning, things don't go well for me. Now, sometimes things don't go well for you anyway, but the psalmist is just going, I'm so thankful that when I'm doing well and I get out of line, there will be consequences to pay. Things happen. Now, as we read on, he flips it around and he says, he turns a wilderness, verse 35, into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards that they can yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them and they multiply greatly. He doesn't let their cattle decrease. Down in verse 42, he says, the righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. So here's what he's saying. Get an understanding of this. He is saying, I am thankful when I do stupid things and they result in catastrophe. I am thankful for when I make wise decisions that result in blessing. Now, as we said in the previous section, there's a lot of stuff that happens. I don't know where it comes from or what's it about, and God's bigger than I am. But at the same time, one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave to people is the ability to respond, is that self-determination that I have input on what my future life is going to be based on what I do right now. Actions, choices have consequences. And so the psalmist is just going, I'm even reminded to be thankful when I look at bad things in my life and go, I see where this came from. I realize I did this, because that becomes the impetus for us to then say, well, shoot, I want to do good things so that I can get good results. And again, this ability, this capacity that only we as humans share. It's not something that animals really think about or do anything. They understand immediate cause and effect. But for us, we can look at our lives and go, if I don't like the way my life is, I can't make somebody else change. But I realize that I want to take responsibility for everything I can do. And so my energy needs to be spent on me being a righteous person instead of a wicked person, on me doing those things that will produce the kind of results that I want to enjoy ultimately, to embrace that responsibility and to welcome it. This isn't saying that God isn't in control and he isn't sovereign. It isn't saying that God gives us all the bad things that we deserve, because he certainly doesn't. But we can certainly identify that an awful lot of what my life is came from me, right? I mean, if you are a certain way, how'd you get there? And you can almost always figure out, there are things I've done that brought this on. If you're a person who's going, yeah, I'm so lonely, I have no friends, nobody I can trust, nobody that supports me, it's just me, I'm just all alone. Well, that is really sad, especially at Thanksgiving. But how'd you get that way? What drove people out of your life? Was it because you were just so pleasant and positive that it drove them crazy? I remember one time when I was just new on staff at Calvary, and some of you remember Pastor Romaine. He was a real mean Marine sergeant guy who was an assistant pastor. And Romaine was counseling the guy up at the front of the church. And the guy's just crying uncontrollably. And he goes, Romaine, my wife left me. And Romaine goes, good. And he goes, good? Why is it good? He goes, well, why'd she leave you? Because you were loving her like Christ loved the church? Is that what drove her out of the house? And he's like, oh, he's feeling worse. And I just go, oh, I walked away. A little later, I came back to check on him. And And the guy was going, but how do I change? How do I change? And Romaine goes, not how, when? When are you going to change? But many of us need to hear that kind of thing. You don't like the way your life is? You have the opportunity to change and to make a difference. If you want friends, the Bible says, be friendly. If you want to have joy in your life, you're going to have to find a way to bring joy to the table. If you want loyal friends, you need to be loyal. Hey, it's not going to be perfect. They're not always going to do it. But the message of the psalm is, I'm really glad that there are enough connections between cause and effect that I realize I can make a difference in my own life. To choose to live a life that's selfish and materialistic is to choose to be empty eventually. To choose to neglect your family so that you can get yourself involved in business is going to mean that eventually you're going to lose half of everything you have, and then you won't be very effective in business either. To choose to eat things that you know aren't good for you, sorry, hostess, but that's to choose to have bad health, to have high blood sugar and high blood pressure, and to have a shorter life and to be, you know, worn out all the time. Choices that we make, the psalmist is just going, I'm glad it works like this because I know that I am always just a good choice away to making the best of a situation. I realize the cool thing is no matter how much I've sinned and no matter how many consequences I've suffered from that sin, then I'm still just a repentance away from being righteous before God, starting over and bringing good results into my life. And that's a huge reason to be thankful this week in our lives. Do you understand that what your life is going to be like a year from now, things you do today are going to affect that, are going to bring about certain results? Some things that I do today will make me wonder. Like, oh no, this is, you know, I can't, I'm just going to eat what I'm going to eat. And if I do that, then I'm choosing my own results. But thank God that we have choices. Thank God that when we walk with Him, He really blesses us. And thank God that when we mess up, we pay for it. Because those lessons are so important for us. Listen, the tuition that we pay in life is not just what we pay to universities to get degrees. Everything that costs us in life is tuition, is a lesson, is something that brings us closer to the point where we kind of get how what we do impacts what we receive. And, you know, the scriptures are just full of scriptures about that, that what you sow, you're going to reap. And that's something to be thankful for. Yeah, there are times when I wish I didn't have choices. There are times when I just think it would be really nice if there was nothing tempting. Now, some of you, maybe you don't go to church much or whatever, and the idea of sin has already offended you. Sin just means that you missed the mark of your destiny. The mark represents, in the word hamartia, the martos in there, in that word, is it refers to your ultimate best destiny. And the A on the front of it, making it hamartia, is saying missing the destiny, coming short of all that should be yours, all that you were created for. And so when I talk about sin, I'm just saying we do things that will counteract the good results that we could enjoy in life. What you sow, you will reap. The great news is we have a God, Jesus, who came and took our sins on Him and died for us and rose from the dead. And as a result, I don't ever have to live in that sin anymore. I can have victory over it one day at a time as I trust him, as I obey him, as I begin to realize, yeah, you know what? The way God says I ought to live, turns out that is the best way to live. And I want to do that. I want to move in that direction. But you have a great privilege to decide what your future is. Ultimately, the greatest privilege that you have is to decide where you're going to spend eternity. Because not only does Jesus remove our sins, take them on himself, and give us a wisdom to make better decisions moving forward in our lives, but he also offers us heaven, an eternity with God, if we'll just ask him and we'll allow him to do it. Man, I am so glad for the day when I made that choice. I will never stop being thankful for it. Many of you have heard the story, but I was at a Christian camp, not listening at all. I was just up there to cause trouble. And I was asleep during the whole message. And I thought church was over because I wake up and all these people are walking forward. And it turned out it was an altar call. And I'm halfway down going, the door's not open. And we're heading into a prayer room and everyone's looking going, Dave Rolfe, I can't believe it. Kids would get in trouble just for being friends with me. And so I get into the prayer room and they say, sit down and bow your heads and a counselor will get around to you. Must have been a good message that John MacArthur taught because tons of people came forward. But I bowed my head and I heard God speak to me. And not an audible voice, but it was clear. And he just said, Dave, it's now or never. Either accept me now or you're not going to be able to. And I was like, wow, I mean, I know all about God. I went to church all my life. I knew the Bible really well, but it's a decision? Yeah, I knew it was. And so I decided that night, and it's not the way I recommend a prayer to become a Christian, but I just said, okay, fine. Got it. If you want to save me, you can, and if you want to change me, you can. But I'm just telling you right now, I'm not going to change a thing. I'm going to keep doing all the stuff that I've always been doing. I'm not quitting drugs. I'm not quitting stealing, fighting it. But I'm telling you, I'm really sincere. If you want to change me, between me and you, you can do it. And then I just felt a peace. The counselor came, oh, you know, hi, you know, can I help you? I go, no, you know, I was asleep. I didn't know it was an altar call. It came up accidentally, so can I leave now? And they looked sad and said, yeah, go ahead. And they left. And we went to a campfire that night, and John MacArthur was asking people to share about what God did in their life. And John knew me, and he goes, Dave Rolfe, I saw you come forward. Do you want to share? I go, yeah, I was asleep, John, during your message. And when I woke up, people were going forward, and I accidentally came forward. And he just looked really sad. But you know what? That night, I went and laid in my bunk, and I knew that something was different. It was just different. That decision to say, okay, fine, was a decision that God honored with his Holy Spirit. And it was about 3 days later when I finally had to start admitting to people, because they realized, you're totally different. Something's weird with you. And the people in my neighborhood thought I had become a narc, because I'm gone for a week, and then all of a sudden I'm back, and I'm acting differently, and they're thinking I'm wearing a wire, and I'm sitting there with people, you know, out in the front yard, we're joking around, I'm telling stories, and somebody passes a joint to me, and I just pass it to the next person, and I thought, wow, that's weird. I didn't take a hit off that joint. And people just, pretty soon, all the heathens that were my friends didn't want anything to do with me, and most Christians weren't allowed to hang out with me, so I had some good alone time. But my life began to change in a profound way so that I finally had to tell people, okay, I didn't want you to know this because I hear people make a camp decision or the harvest decision. They like get all emotional and then they go back to their lives. I didn't want to do that, but I got to admit something's changing. I'm so glad that God gave me that opportunity. He totally manipulated me and I could resent it. Yet, why would you resent somebody messing with you to take you to heaven and to change your entire life? My whole life changed. Everything has been different. Today, I couldn't even fathom not walking with Jesus, not loving his word, not wanting to share with others, not wanting to see other people get saved, because I know, man, he changed me. And for that, I am incredibly thankful. So for all of us, we look at this psalm and we go, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the family of God, for the Christian fellowship that we have. And I'm thankful for the fact that when I mess up, I pay for it. And I'm reminded to learn from that. And when I turn to God and I reach out to him, he blesses me. I'm thankful for the ups and downs in life that remind me that I'm not all that, that I'm not God, that I'm this tiny little speck that God just passionately loves. That big God saw this little guy and he goes, I'll die for him. And I'm thankful for that. And for so many other things. But I pray as you look through this Psalm 107, you'll start your week by going, this is a week for Thanksgiving. We call it Thanksgiving. We're already complaining about having to get the turkey and the store doesn't ever have enough of them. And, nobody will help. Nobody's going to even clean up afterwards. It's a week of griping for us sometimes. But, I mean, for me, I don't want to mislead you. I don't have anything to do with cooking any turkey or anything. I have to man the remote control on the football games. But, and that's a problem sometimes. People keep talking to you. You're trying to watch the game. But how about this year we go, you know what? This week is Thanksgiving week. And so I am going to determine to not complain about anything. I am going to tell anyone who will listen what God has released me from, what he has done in my life, how he has saved me, how much I appreciate the family of God. And I will not even utter a word of discontentedness this week, because after all, this is Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? What do you have to be thankful for? Now, there might be some of you here today and somebody kind of dragged you to church and they said, come to church with me on Sunday and you'll get turkey on Thursday. But here's the question. Everybody loves Thanksgiving. So who do you thank? And for what are you thankful? Because mostly when you look at life, it kind of balances out. Or for some people, it just seems like the deck is stacked against you. Well, there is a God who loves you. Your life can start over if you allow Jesus to save you. You can be forgiven of every destructive tendency you've ever had in your life. You can be delivered from depression, from addictions, from your sins. You can be set free. You can finally discover the destiny that God has in store for you. And it would be so awesome if you would start this Thanksgiving week by getting right with God, by just letting him. It's not going to cost you anything. He's not going to try to get anything from you. He just wants to give you a gift. If that's you and you've never made that decision, or maybe you made it a long time ago, but something got really haywire and you've been really off lately, there'll be people back there in the corner who would love to pray for you and pray with you. Any need you have for prayer, go on back there and get it. But especially for people who decide that I am going to make the biggest decision of my life, that finally from here on, I want to have every day be full of things I'm thankful for. So I pray that you'll do that. And I pray for all of us that this week we would stand out as being people who are incredibly grateful. You know, some people have personalities where they're just upset about everything. Other people have personalities that they seem to flow with anything. I saw a funny thing on YouTube. It was on the Jimmy Kimmel show. And Jimmy Kimmel he told people on the show, hey, get your camera going and tell your kid the day after Halloween, tell them that you accidentally ate all their candy. And it's really funny because some of the kids just throw a fit and they throwing things, kicking the ground and all this stuff. But some of the kids are so sweet. There was a little girl and her mom goes, "I'm sorry, honey, but mommy ate all your Halloween candy." And the little girl goes, "Oh, that's okay, but maybe next year we can share." You guys, there's a choice. We choose to be thankful and grateful, or we can choose to throw a fit every time something doesn't go our way. Going your way isn't a good thing always. Sometimes God going against you is the best thing that could happen. He is so gracious. So let's just spend a week when we look like that little girl who feels like, hey, next year I'll look forward to my candy, some of it. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're sorry for all the times we forget to say thank you, for all the things that we take for granted until we lose them and then we're all bummed. God, you've blessed us. Your mercies are new every morning. Your grace is overpowering. Your faithfulness is eternal. You've saved us. Thank you. And help us to learn to be thankful. That when people hear us talking or emailing or posting or whatever it is that we use for communication, that the first thing that'll always come out of us is we are so thankful. We are so grateful. So thanks for that. And God, for people here today who don't know you, this great opportunity to start over in life. Please, just by your Spirit, would you draw them to yourself and cause them to decide, maybe it is time for me to make a big change, a quantum leap in my perspective and in my life. So God, draw them to yourself and help them to have the courage to go back and tell somebody and to pray with them. But this week, as it starts going crazy, Wednesday, Thursday, relatives, food, God, I pray that for each of us, Thanksgiving would be hovering over all of that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.